this time, please turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to start from verse 8. So Luke chapter 2, everyone, and we will start from verse 8 to 20. I'm reading from the New International Version of the Bible. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. May God bless the reading from His holy word. Please be seated. Good morning once again. Now today we lit the third candle of Advent, the candle of joy, because indeed Christmas season is a time for joy, right? So we hear the song we just sang as the hymn, "Joy to the World." And then we will be singing hymns like, "O Come All Ye Faithful," "Joyful," and "Triumphant," "Repeat the Sounding Joy," "'Tis the Season to be Jolly." Indeed, it's a joyful season. But we know and we are aware that while we proclaim joy, 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 the world is filled with chaos and violence. Wars are still fought around the world today in some places in the globe. And not just among nations, there's also war going on in the malls, in the grocery, you know, fighting for that elusive gift, war in lining up to pay in the counter. And not just war in the malls, war happening in the homes. Now, this is reality. Yes, Christmas is a joyful season, but there are places, there are people that don't experience this joy. So the question is, are we still convinced that joy is indeed the right word that describes Christmas? With all these things going on, happening in the world today, are we convinced that Christ's coming on earth brings joy? We are left to wonder if the spirit of Christmas still exists today, because there is so much commercialism already with Christmas. It's no longer the joy of Christ, but it's the stress of buying, of parties, of all the commotions going on, the traffic that makes people, instead of joyful, to become joyless. So as we continue with our series today, we want to focus on how can we live confidently in the Lord, you know, in this chaotic world, even in this Christmas season, and how can we stay confident that we are okay even if the world is not? Because even dogs today sometimes are joyless because of what? The the noise, and of course, the firecrackers, those pabuto. So, can we bring joy to people? How can we convince ourselves of that? Now, part 7 of our series is to stay convinced. Stay convinced. Don't just stay committed. Don't just stay courageous. Don't just stay focused or centered or stay, you know, confident, but stay convinced. Because we are already living in a world that is cynical and skeptic. It's so easy for us to be distracted by the festivities. It's so easy for us to be off focus on what is real, what is the truth, and no longer be convinced that Christ is still the reason for the season. Now, according to David Jeremiah, as we prepare for the second coming of Christ, we must be convinced of the importance of living on purpose, of moving through life with a sense of urgency based on something higher than the pursuit of pleasure. Because right now, Christmas is so commercialized that we tend to equate our joy with things. We tend to equate our joy with happenings. If there are no happenings, then there's no joy. If there are no gifts, if there are no money, there's no joy. We have to be convinced that real joy doesn't come from things that we possess, but it comes from the one who should possess us, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, to learn some important lessons about how to stay convinced in the Lord in this cynical world, we will focus on the shepherds. All right? So, we've done already the standpoint of Mary 2 Sundays ago, and then last Sunday, we talk about staying courageous through Joseph. And now we go to the shepherds. The shepherds are one of those people invited, you know, privileged to be invited in the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I want us to learn from them how we can stay convinced in the Lord in this chaotic world. All right? So let's begin with the first lesson, all right? So you have your sermon notes there. Number one is to be what? Watch for the Lord. Watch for the Lord. In other words, be vigilant. Be watchful. We find that word repeated, commanded by our Lord Jesus Christ. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. We are to be watchful. We are not to be sleeping, because anytime the Lord is coming, all right? So as Christians, if our focus is waiting upon the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, Christmas season is actually a double celebration. We remember the first advent of Christ, but we need to understand that Christmas season is also a looking forward, all right? We are also anticipating the coming of our Lord. And so, what is the command of the Scripture when we talk about the coming of our Lord? We have to be watchful. And we can learn that from these shepherds. All right? Let's start with verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. Now, I'd like to focus first on these shepherds. These shepherds teach us a sense of urgency, excitement. They were watching, all right? This is a nighttime, and then they're still watching because we know, we are reminded that shepherds are supposed to protect the flock. And we know that there are, you know, predators coming. And that is why even the Bible is giving us a spiritual sense of being watchful, because we know our enemy is like a lion just looking for the opportunity to devour us. And so we have to be watchful. And here it says, the shepherds. These shepherds, By the way, according to a Jewish biblical scholar, Alfred Edersheim, these weren't just any shepherds, but they were Levitical shepherds with a special task of keeping sacrificial lamb in that area. We have to understand that the sacrifices goes on and on in the temple, and these shepherds are said to be, according to one theory by a Jewish biblical scholar, that they were Levitical shepherds. In other words, they were watching sheep not just for any reason, not just for the sake of having flocks, but these sheep were supposed to be sacrificial lamb, in Bethlehem, all right? And we are told that they were keeping watch. Now, I'd like us to focus in these words because in the Greek, you don't find this in the English, but keeping watch is actually a play of words. It's like watching. The word is being repeated, for emphasis. Phylasso, phylake. It's like the same word is used, but one is used as an adjective, the other word is used as a verb. Keeping watch, or watching, or keeping. The idea there is for us to understand that they were really guarding, all right? They were really watching, and they didn't know. They thought that they were only watching after their sheep, but actually, God was allowing with them to watch for a different kind of a sheep. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And then in verse 9, it says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them." And they were what? They were terrified. The same thing that happened to Mary, to Joseph, to Zechariah, to Elizabeth. It's not a usual thing for an angel to appear. Even if an angel appears to you today, I'm sure you will still experience the same thing. You will be terrified. It's not a usual thing. And then going back to the scripture, you have to understand that for the last 4 centuries, God has been silent. No words, no utterances from prophets, no angelic messages. So can you imagine, for the last 400 years, God never spoke through any entity, either through a prophet or through an angel. And then suddenly, here the Bible tells us the angel of the Lord appeared to them. These shepherds have never seen angels before in their whole lives. Now, for the first time, the glory of the Lord, it says there, the glory of the Lord, and we understand the glory of the Lord, the kabod in the Old Testament. Remember? The pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, that's the presence of the Lord. It's so magnificent, and this is how Luke tells us, and this is the appearance. The glory of the Lord shone around them. So it's like the night suddenly became as a daylight. You have to understand that's the glory of the Lord, It's like a super bright shine of light. And that's how Luke describes to us what happened there. The glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." The same message given to Joseph, to Mary, "Do not be afraid." Remember that phrase, "Do not be afraid," "Do not be terrified," or "Fear not," is repeated in the scripture how many times? 365 times in the scripture, reminding us that God wants us to understand that every day, there is a single "do not fear" words in the scripture for you. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. There are more things that causes us to be afraid today, right? We are afraid of the prices of commodities. We are afraid of terror. We are afraid of this storm coming. There's so many things to cause us to fear. But the message of Christmas, brethren, the message of the angel is the still same message for us today. Do not be afraid. I want you to tell the person next to you, to encourage that person. Tell the person, do not be afraid. I know tomorrow, Monday for some is due date. You know, Judith will be reminding you again. Tell the person next to you, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Amen? It's natural for us to be afraid. Satan can cause us to be afraid. But we need to understand that God is powerful and He's in control. Amen? He's over and above what the devil can do to you and to me. All right? And notice the message of the angel. After saying, do not be afraid, I'm not here to bring bad news. But notice this, I bring you good news. Literally, in Greek, that's the gospel, euangelion. I bring you good news. And we've been talking about gospel being gospel-centered. We are a gospel-centered church. We preach the gospel. Friends, for the first time, the gospel came to this world in flesh. And that's the message of the angel. I bring you the gospel. I bring you the good news. What good news? Notice the prepositional phrase. Good news of what? Of great joy. See? So the angel describes to these angels, described to the shepherds that this good news is able to result to great joy. See? Because there's only fear. What consumed the lives of people before the coming of Christ is that the Bible describes that the world during the time is that people were walking in darkness. And now they are to experience the light that comes from heaven. Friends, even today in which Christmas season is celebrated, even in non-Christian nations, even when there are parties going on, even when there is so much merrymaking going on, people are still living in darkness. And only the good news, only Jesus Christ can bring great joy. No amount of gift, no amount of bonuses, no amount of money or vacation, you know, can equal the great joy that comes when people experience Jesus Christ in their lives. Brethren, are you convinced of that? See, that's the point. It's so hard for us to tell people about Christ when we ourselves are not convinced. That's why our lesson today is stay convinced. And this is how the shepherds were being convinced by the angel. I bring you good news of great joy. And take note, this good news of great joy is not just for the shepherd, not just for the Jews. Notice the extent of this great joy. This great joy is for what? For all people. Amen? The Jews thought that the Messiah was only for them. But this good news, according to the angel, it's for all people. See? The extent of the good news is that God wants His gospel, God wants His Christ, God wants His Savior to be not just the Savior of the Jews, but the Savior of mankind. That's why we celebrate joy as the third candle of Advent. Because that's what Christmas brings to this world. Joy for all people. Now, let's continue. Today in the town of David. Now, we know what this town of David. This is Bethlehem. And this is again prophetic. Again, we find here that the angel is simply confirming what the prophets of old have been saying and writing, that the Messiah will come from the town of David because He is from the very loins of David. From the root of David comes, you know, the Messiah. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. Not an ordinary man. A Savior has been born. All right? We find here that the Savior coming is to be born. In other words, the angel announced that this is going to be God who became man. God cannot be born. God is a spirit, right? But why does the angel say, a Savior has been born to you? Friends, that really means that this Savior is not an angel. He becomes a man. So that's a sign. He is a man. He's going to be a man because he's born. And he is the Savior born. Take note, to you. Very personal. All right, to you. This really addresses directly the shepherds. All right? You shepherds, you're included here. Now, we have to understand that among the Jews, the shepherds were what? The lowest in their status. In their social status, the shepherds were seen as the lowest. No? But notice this. The invitation. Can you imagine the privilege of these angels? I mean, the shepherds, they were the first invited guests to the birth of the king. You know, the wise men came, yes, they were invited as well, but they came later. The shepherds, these lowly shepherds were given personal, direct message of salvation. A Savior has been born to you. And who is the Savior? He is Christ the Lord. Again, the angel gives us here some info about this baby born. He is Christ, of course, Christ, Christus. That's the Greek version of the Hebrew Messiah. He's the Christ. And not just the Christ, he is the Lord with the article, the Lord. Of course, every time the Lord is mentioned in the scripture, it refers to Jehovah in the Old Testament. So this is amazing because here the shepherds were being told, and we don't know if these shepherds knew their scriptures very well, but here they are given a fulfillment of prophecy. Here they were the first people to know that this baby born in Bethlehem is the Savior, and not just the Savior, he is the Messiah. You know, the Messiah that the Jews were waiting for centuries. And third, he is the Lord. Now, this is something that a lot of Jews stumble upon. They don't believe that their Messiah is the Lord. But the Messiah is the Lord. See? Make way for the Lord. And who is the Lord coming? It's Jesus Christ. And this is very important, brethren, for us to be watchful. We are not watching some signs. We are not watching some, you know, heavenly events. Let us not be distracted with signs. If there's one thing that the church should be watchful for, it's God Himself. It's Christ. Some people today are distracted with, you know, all the signs, all, you know, the events, all the phenomenon, that we focus so much on these events, forgetting the Lord, who is the one coming. All right? And they were told, you are not just watching for sheep, you are watching for the Lamb, who is to be the Lamb of God, who will take away the sins of the world. And notice this, this will be a sign to you. They were given a sign. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. All right? Two signs. All right? So, because remember, they were to be watchful for what? A Savior? A Lord? The Christ? Just one person. And how will we know this one? I mean, there could be so many babies born during that day in Bethlehem. But they were given a sign, very specific. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. lying in the manger. Now, we need to understand, friends, that this is, okay, this is just one theory, all right? Not all scholars agree to this. Again, Alfred Edelsheim, in his book about the life, you know, of the Messiah, he's a Jew, and he became a Christian, he became a pastor, a scholar, and he's saying that in this particular place where flocks were you know, raised for the purpose of a sacrificial lamb, those baby lambs born, they were wrapped in swaddling clothes. All right? The purpose is to protect them because these lambs are supposed to be what? Unblemished. No spots. No irregularities. So they were to be raised with what? With, you know, utmost care. All right? So these shepherds knew. So when these lambs were born, they were wrapped in swaddling cloth and they were put in the manger because they were to be brought to another place. Now, when the angel says, "This is a sign to you, you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloth, lying in a manger." It's like, that's easy. They could recognize it because it's the thing that we're doing. All right? So, in the very area where sacrificial lambs were born, in the very area where shepherds raised, these Levitical shepherds would raise these special lambs, is to be born this specific lamb, the Lamb of God who is to be the Savior of the world. And so, it's a sign. In other words, you will not miss this because in this particular time and place, no other baby is going to be born in a manger. Only this one. And you will not miss this because you know what it means to raise lambs. Isn't that amazing? How God puts together things, even mundane things. Because these shepherds, they're just raising this. And then for them, this is no special thing. This is just a regular thing they're doing. But they were given a sign. In the same way you are doing these shepherds, you will find this Savior wrapped in the same way you would wrap this lamb. And you will find this baby there lying in a manger. No other baby at that time is lying in a manger. Only this baby. And then, what happens next? Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." Friends, can you imagine? These shepherds, for the first time, did not just see an angel, but now what? A host of angels. See? It's like suddenly there's a parade of angels. Can you imagine the lights? Can you imagine, you know, the glow, the glitters, the spectacular view of heavenly hosts? And what are these angels doing? They are singing, they are glorifying God, proclaiming peace on earth to people whom God will favor. All right? Now, from there, we find the response of the angel. So far, we don't hear them speaking, right? So far, the shepherds were just listening. Only the angels, you know, were singing. Only the angel was declaring. Now, notice this. When the angels had left them and gone into the heaven, and this is where we find them talking now, the shepherds said to one another. All right? Now, this is interesting because here, they're left among themselves now. They've seen the spectacular show of angelic hosts. And now, the Bible says, they said to one another. All right? They were discussing. All right? They were discussing. They're now talking. I mean, can you imagine when you find yourself, you know, under this glorious host of angels, you know, and then they're gone, they're back to heaven. And so they were chatting. They were saying, you know. And what were they saying? Now, Luke, you know, gives us an account of what they were saying. Let us go to Bethlehem and see these things that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Let us go. Now, of course, I'm promoting the Discovery Bible. In the Discovery Bible, you will find that the words there, let's go and see, has this check mark. All right? Now, what is that check mark? That check mark, you know, this is how it is being described. It speaks of an action that has been done completely, immediately, and decisively. You know? In other words, check. In other words, it describes an action that is immediate and urgent. All right? That you really decide. All right? So, in other words, it was something that they decided. It's something that they were, you know, urgent. There's a sense of urgency and immediate action. Let's go. All right? Sense of urgency. Let's go and see. Now, this is important, friends, because the word there for see, all right, huraō, it literally means to see with the mind. Because there are other Greek words for see, like just to see, as in to see. But here, it's not seeing with eyes, but this is seeing. The word huraō literally means to see with mind, spiritually see, to perceive with inward spiritual perception. All right? So, in other words, when the angel told them that today in the town of Bethlehem, a Savior has been born to you, little did they know that the angel was actually sharing the gospel to them. A Savior has been born. All right? And they believe. Why? Because now we find that they were convinced because from their very words that they use, let's go. In other words, it's immediate. Let's go now. Let's not waste. And then, let us see these things coming. Friends, there's a sense of urgency there. That's where I want us to focus on the first lesson. Christians, confronted with the coming of our Lord, whether He comes next week, next year, or next century, He is coming. And the church needs to be watchful. We are to be watchful. And we need to learn from these shepherds the sense of watchfulness. See? Let us see. There is perception. And friends, that's important today because nowadays Christians are so distracted with the things that the world is offering that we don't look at the Lord with perception. It's like we are simply being amused by the world, we're distracted that we are no longer focused on the eternal perspective of life. It's like Satan is entertaining the world and a lot of Christians are also entertained. That we don't have the urgency to watch. We don't have the spiritual eyes to see beyond what's going on in the world today. It's so easy for Satan to just amuse us with news, with showbiz, with breakups, with concerts. All right? It's so easy for us to be distracted and don't see things with perception. But here, the shepherds teach us something. Let's go. In other words, when it's about God, when it's about His kingdom, when it's about the gospel, friends, we need to have that urgency. Let's go. All right? Sometimes we have to really literally drag ourselves to church every Sunday. We are not excited about His word. See? We should be telling each other every morning, our homes, we should be excited, you know? Sunday morning. Let's go and see what the Lord has for us. Okay? We should be excited. It's not, Sunday na po, sayo na po mata. Can you relate? Pwede ragdi mo simba. O, di ba? And sometimes, we drag ourselves to church because we don't want to be embarrassed because again, next week, Pastor Mackie will be asking, where were you last Sunday? And of course, you're a Christian, you don't want to lie. See? So, I know some of us are forced, but we need to have this sense of urgency like the shepherds. Let's go and let's watch. Now, notice the next word, thing. What thing? You need to ask yourself, what thing should convince us? See? Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened. Now, question, what is that thing? Now, it's interesting again. That's why it's important to go to some, you know, the original language. The word thing there is literally the word rhema. And some of you know rhema. What is rhema? Anybody? Remember, the word in Greek has two. One is logos, and another word is rhema. The word of God, there are two Greek words used for the word of God. Rhema and logos. Logos, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was with God, and the word became flesh. That's logos. The word of God is logos. Rhema is, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema that comes out from the mouth of God. Rhema is spoken word. See? So what were they excited to go and see? Let's go to Bethlehem and see this what? This rhema. Because remember, the angel was bringing the rhema of God. So the angel, when the angel says, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, is Christ the Lord. They were not words of the angels, but they were the rhema word of God. Angel, the angel was just a messenger. See? So now these shepherds understood that these words of the angel is no ordinary words. This is the spoken word of God. And so they say, let's go to Bethlehem and see this what? This rhema. Alright? Another translation of rhema is, aside from spoken word, is there's reality. What is this reality? This is not some fiction. This is not some gossip. This is rhema. To see this rhema that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. See that? The Lord has told us about. So these angels, shepherds, knew who the source of this news is. It is God. And friends, I hope that we have that watchfulness. Now we can see clearly. As Christians today, we are not shepherds, but we are to have the perception of the shepherds. Amen? That we are to be watchful about the things happening. But most importantly, we have to be watchful about the rhema of God. Why? Because in what's happening in the world today, it's important that we are guided with the rhema, the word of God. See? This is our map. This is our compass. It gives us direction. We have to be watchful. Otherwise, it's so easy for us to be dragged and distracted by the schemes of the world. Amen? The rhema of God. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph. Notice there the sense of urgency. They hurried off, found Mary and Joseph, and take note, the baby, and there's the article there. The baby. In Greek, it's emphasis. In other words, this is not just any baby. This is the baby who was lying again. Manger. There's an article, the manger. Now, this is important in the original because this gives us emphasis. All right? So they are being reminded. In other words, they were really paying attention to what the angel said. That you will find the baby in the manger. Why? Because that's the sign. You will not be lost. Follow. All right? When the angels had left them and gone into the heaven, the shepherds said to one another, all right? Then let's go to the second witness. All right? Watchful. Second, witness about the Lord. All right? Look at verse 17. When they had seen him, all right? They already, no, they followed, they were watchful. Now, they actually seen the Lord. All right? Notice what happened. They spread the word. Amen? How do you know if a person is really convinced? How do you know if a person is convinced about a product, about a movie, about anything? You cannot contain yourself, right? If you're convinced about a movie, you would be telling your people you should watch this movie. If you're convinced with a particular shampoo or a product, you would be telling people. You would be telling them, you know what? This is so nice. You know, you should try it. You would even use your social media. Right? Kung giganahan kas pagkaon picturean gyud unya i-post na yun. Oh, asa man ni of course ang katong mga followers nimo mangutana, di ba? Common question. Where is this? Oh, asa man ni? Unsa ingan sa restaurant? Di ba? We do that. Now that's what happened here. When they had seen him because they were convinced, they spread the word. Now, the Greek word there for spread is diagnorizo. Diagnorizo. It's a compound word. It's a dia. And then norizo. Norizo is to be known. Now, the dia there intensifies the verb. It intensifies the verb. It means that they were, and take note again, the tense, it's aorist tense. It speaks of what? Excitement and urgency. It's a point action. It means that they were so excited to spread the word. What do we call that in Christian terms? Evangelism. Witnessing. Diba? That's witnessing. What is witnessing, brethren? When you are convinced about something that is worth sharing, something that will change your life, something that will definitely change another person's life, you could not contain yourself but tell others about it. All right? And we know this experience, right? This is the first time they've experienced the gospel. They're excited. The same thing. Remember the first time you were saved? Especially those who are converts. In other words, you did not grow up in a Christian home. When you heard the gospel, when you were saved, you were so excited. The problem of Christianity is this. The longer we become Christian, the less excited we become. Isn't it true? That's the problem. We are no longer excited. Before, we were so excited. And now, because we are not focused on God, what happens is this. We're excited about things in this world, the latest sports, the latest shoes, the latest news, not to mention the latest breakup. We're so excited to spread these things in our social media. Diba? Okay, be honest. How many of you follow that? That includes me. Okay? I'm not a liar. Okay? Because whatever Sharon is watching, makadungog po ko. So, siya gid ang first. Don't deny. Alright? Don't deny. So, sometimes we're so excited about so many things that we have forgotten the most important thing that we should be excited about. The excitement of telling others about Christ. The excitement of bringing people to church. The excitement of inviting people to Bible studies. Listen, brethren. Listen. We have to understand the things that we know about the Scripture. Listen. This is the one that can change a problematic person's life. This is the very thing that can restore marriage. This is the very thing that can bring an addicted person back to sanity. This is the very thing that can bring people from hell to heaven. You should be excited about this. We should all be excited. Amen? That's why I always encourage you, bring someone to church every Sunday. You just don't know how the message. You might think that the message today will not be appealing to you, but you don't know how appealing it will be to non-Christians. All right? Please don't bring someone who's already a Christian and who has another church. Please, don't do that. See? We don't need transferees. We need people. You bring people who are not yet Christians because the Bible is the most exciting thing, the Word of God. See? The birth of our Lord. That's why you might be wondering why there are so many activities in the church during Christmas season. You know why? Because we believe that during Christmas, people are open to any invitation. You can invite them to cantata. You can invite them to kids' musical. You can invite them to our, Christmas service. These are good opportunities to bring people in so that they can hear the gospel. Friends, that's witnessing. See? Witnessing is simply telling others. Somebody defined witnessing or evangelism as what? What is evangelism? It's one beggar telling other beggars where to find bread. And we were all beggars before we found the bread of life. We should be telling others where to find the bakery. See? The bakery is in the church because in the church, we give the bread. Amen? We should be excited doing that. And notice what happened is, all who heard it. What's the it? The word. Remember the rhema. All who heard it were what? They were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. Friends, do not, prejudge people. You know, I've always encouraged people to bring their friends and sila'y mag-una. Ah, di na to sila maminaw, Pastor. Di sila interested. So sometimes ba, I say, are you God? I mean, you are not even convinced. Because if you ask you to ka, listen, gahing yun na sila, Pastor. What na sila? You have forgotten. Gahi makasauna pod. And then somebody invited you, and then now nahumok na ka, ning gahi na pod kagbalik. Alright? So sometimes ba, we've forgotten that we also were from darkness. And now we are in light. Friends, that's what we do. We invite them. And guess what? According to statistics, this is statistics. Okay? Many years ago, we were told in this training about evangelism, we always think that when we share the gospel, our mindset is that we're embarrassed because they will always decline. But this is statistics. 3 out of 5 will say yes to your invitation. That's not bad. In other words, every time we invite 5 people, 3 will come. That's not bad. That's good. See? Even if only 1 will come with you, that is still good. Why? Because according to Luke 15, heaven is only looking for 1 soul and there's going to be much rejoicing. Amen? See? You don't have to bring the whole barangay. Just 1 counselor. Just 1 resident every week. See? Witnessing, bringing them. All right, let's go to the third. Worship. Watch, witness, worship. Notice verse 20. The shepherds return. Okay? Now, before I go on, let me focus first in that word. The shepherds return. Friends, this is reality. We celebrate Christmas. We celebrate our salvation. No? We meet Jesus Christ. We come to church, but we don't remain in the church. We don't live here. See? We experience Jesus in a mountaintop experience, but we don't remain in the mountain forever. We always go back. We always return. We always, when these shepherds found Jesus, they worship Jesus, take note. They did not say, let's leave being shepherds and let's just stay here with Jesus. Are you getting the point? They still have to go back to work. See? Doesn't mean that you become Christian, you quit working, and then just stay here in the church. Okay? No. We all return. You return after our worship service. You return to your home. Some of you, you return to your work. You return to your career. We all return. Friends, when we come to Christ, we don't stay with Jesus physically forever. We go back to our homes. But here's the catch. We return with a different attitude. Are you listening? We return a different person. Notice this. Shepherds, they return. Yes, they return, but when they return back to their flock, back to their field, they were not the same persons anymore. Notice, they return glorifying, praising God. It's a present participle in the Greek. It speaks of an ongoing lifestyle. All right. Perhaps they were just shepherds and they were just focused on the sheep, and perhaps God wasn't that important in their lives. But it's different now, because now they return what? Glorifying and praising God. See? What is that? Worship. And friends, it doesn't say they return to the temple and glorifying. No. They return glorifying and praising God for all the things they have heard and seen. Meaning to say, friends, you don't only worship God in the temple or in the church. Because we are not told they return and went to the temple. No. When the Bible says they return, it means they return to where? To their fields. Friends, that means worship can happen anywhere. Amen? When you have all these things in your heart and mind, your office, your house, your kitchen can be a place of worship. But, okay, very big but it's never intended to be a substitute for a corporate worship. Because I know some Christians nga daghan ang nibawaan sa Bible, tubag na pud sa pastor. Masimba ta, pastor, I can just worship you, worship God anywhere. Uy, may na mo tubag. But pwede naman masimba sa balay, pastor, di ba? Ikaw gigawali, ana, di ba? We can worship God anywhere. Yes, it's true. But it's never, listen, it's never a substitute of a corporate worship where God requires us to do every week. Amen? Can I get a big amen for that? It's never a substitute. Yes, we can worship at home. Yes, we have a good facilities for online worship. But listen, it is never a substitute for a corporate worship where God wants His people together once a week so that we can worship Him together. See? So they return a different person. They return worshiping God. So what is the true spirit of Christmas? It is worship. Why? Because in every person connected to the first Christmas story, whether you're talking of the shepherds, the Magi, Mary, who else? Elizabeth, Zechariah, all of them. If you study all their lives, what did they do when they found Christ? They all worshiped Him. And brethren, let me end with that. If there's one thing that you and I should be convinced of, it is to worship Christ. Worship Him. See? That's what the shepherds did. So watchful. So how to stay convinced so that we won't follow the cynicism, the skepticism of this world today? Watch for the Lord. Have a spiritual perception. Witness about the Lord. Spread the word and worship the Lord. Not just in the church, everywhere we go. I hope, brethren, that as we go out from this gathered fellowship, your life will never be the same again. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for Christmas. We thank you, Father, how you have shown your glory, your majesty, through those humble, poor shepherds, through their lowly lives. We have learned the high standard of watching, witnessing, and worshiping the Lord. And that's how we can stay convinced about you, about your truth, about your gospel in the midst of this shaky and chaotic world. And so we affirm that indeed Jesus Christ is our Lord, He is our Savior, and He is the Christ. Amen and amen.